other than you guys, huh? We'll get Linda, or we'll get Russell and Larry, who's sitting here in a second.
Old slow,
is that it? Okay.
I'm scared.
You're stepping, well, that's good. I'll be thankful for that. All right, I've been stuck in the minor prophets for a while, and we're going to be stuck in them again this morning. And if you've got your Bible, I'd like to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, chapter 2.
Yep.
Habakkuk, chapter 2. And the message title this morning, Wait For It. Wait For It in Habakkuk, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Beginning verse 1, Habakkuk chapter 2, the prophet said, I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered him, and said, Write the vision, and make plain on tables, that he may run freely. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. I pray to you for some prayer.
Thank you, Father, Lord, and Father, God. Before you, that I will be with you, all of the blessings of you, that I will be with you, that I will be with you,
I'm burdened by it, but I'm not so burdened by it.
side. You know, because when lost people do simple things, you know what? They're just doing what comes naturally. We shouldn't be surprised when lost people act like lost people. I mean, they're just doing what lost people do, right? But now, while I'm burdened by the state of our nation, by what I see going on in our society, and indeed I am, I'm more burdened when I see God's people join in. I'm more burdened when I see God's people acting like lost people. And this is what was going on in the backstage. It wasn't the lost people around them that concerned him so much. It was the fact that he saw all this vile wickedness going on and being perpetrated by the people of God. And that's what burdened him. And Habakkuk didn't understand why it seemed like the Lord wouldn't do anything about it. To him, it almost seemed like God had become indifferent to the sins of his people. And I'll tell you something. I don't think Habakkuk wanted to see God come and just annihilate him. I don't think Habakkuk wanted to see God come and destroy him. I don't think that's what he was getting after when he said, Lord, how long are you going to let this go on? Let me tell you what I think he wanted, honestly. I think he wanted God to come and correct them. And I think, honestly, in his heart, he wanted to see the people of God do the right thing. That's what he wanted. He wanted to see God do something that caused these people to quit sinning and start doing the right thing. He wanted to see these people serve the Lord and only the Lord. He wanted to see the blessings of God be poured out on God's people, but he knew that this was never going to happen until the people of God repented of their sins, turned back to God, and once again made him their priority. Okay? And so he knew nothing good was going to happen until those things happened. And then as you move along in chapter 1, you will see that the Lord came and he said, Habakkuk, I'm well aware of everything going on. I've got a plan. He revealed to Habakkuk that he was going to do something. He was going to send the Babylonians to come and overcome them militarily. And then he told Habakkuk the majority of them will be carried away captive to Babylon. Well, friends, that didn't set real well. And I believe once the Lord told him that, I believe he was even more burdened than he was to start with. So let me ask y'all something this morning before we move on. What are you burdened about this morning? Think about that for a second. What are you burdened about this morning? Are you burdened about the current moral and spiritual state of our nation? Does that burden you? Are you burdened by all the corruption that we're witnessing among our political leaders today? Are you burdened by the state of the church in America today? Are you burdened by the current condition of this church? Maybe today you're burdened because you don't know God's will for your life. Maybe you're burdened because a situation has cropped up in your life and you are not sure what God's will is in that particular situation. Maybe you're burdened for someone you know who's lost in their sin and in danger of hell. Maybe you're burdened today because the circumstances of life are just beating you down and, I don't know, maybe you're burdened by something else. Well, friends, Habakkuk was burdened by what was going on around him. Today, you and I, as God's people, should be burdened by what's going on around us as well. This brings me to the second point, and that is what the prophet did about his burden. Look at chapter 1, again, verse 1, the burden of Habakkuk, the prophet did see. And here's what he did with it. Here it is, verse 2. He prayed. And he said, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not say? Initially, like I said, Habakkuk was burdened by the sin and the wickedness he saw the people of God committing. And in chapter 1, verse 2, he does the right thing with that burden. He takes it to the Lord. He prays about it. He tells God about it. Friends, that is what we ought to do with our burdens. Like I said, once he took it to the Lord revealed to Habakkuk what he was going to do about it. That was to send the Babylonians to defeat them. And then, guess what? He became even more burdened. So he got real honest with God. If you read on at the end of chapter 1, you'll see that he gets real honest with God. And he says, Lord, I don't understand how that can happen. He says, Lord, I don't understand how you, a holy God, could permit that to happen. Because his complaint is, Lord, they're worse than we are. How can you use them to judge us? I don't understand. Friends, I'm going to say something. We can't throw anything in the back. Because we are all just mere mortal beings with limited understanding. You know what? The Lord knows that. And I don't think the Lord is offended when we pray and look to him and say, Lord, you know, I just don't understand. God's not going to get mad if you say, Lord, I don't understand why you're doing this. He's not going to get mad. He's not going to smite you if you say, Lord, this doesn't make any sense to me. I've read your word. I've followed you for years. And in my mind, I kind of thought this is what you would do. And yet you're doing this. And I don't understand. It's okay to tell him that. Hey, friends, there's things going on in my life right now I don't understand. And I like the problem. I told the Lord about it. And when God told him back what he was going to do about it, and use the Babylonians as an instrument of his judgment, the prophet didn't understand that. So he just told the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to get it. Friends, let me just tell you something this morning. If you're burdened in any way about anything or anyone, you need to take a page out of the bank's playbook this morning. And you need to come in a few minutes when we sing our final hymn, and you need to come to this altar. And you need to tell the Lord what you're burdened about today. And if your burden today happens to be a lack of understanding concerning what God is doing in your life or in a certain situation, then you know what? You need to come and you need to tell him about that as well. As you come this morning, you need to come doing two things. You ready for this? If you come to the altar this morning and you're burdened about something, and you come up here and you lay that burden at God's feet, and you say, Lord, here it is. I'm giving it to you. I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you, Lord, to work in this situation, to move. Here's what you need to do as you come to pray this morning. Number one, you better come with an expectation of getting an answer to your prayer. Okay? That's number one. Okay? If you're not going to believe that God is going to answer your prayer, then I'm just going to be honest with you, probably wasting your time. But number two thing you need to do as you come and pray is not only expect an answer, you need to come with the understanding that God may not move in the situation the way you want him to. You need to understand that God may do something in that situation that is not what you want him to do. Do you think this is what Habakkuk wanted to hear? I mean, it would be like me praying today and saying, Lord, I am so burdened by the wicked leaders we have. I am so burdened by all the wickedness that I see going on in America. And Lord, I want you to do something about it. And Lord, come down and say, well, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to send the Chinese to America. They're going to invade you and they're going to own you. How exciting would that be to hear? Wouldn't be exciting at all. That's the equivalent of what God told back. So listen, when you come and you bring your burdens to God, you better come with an expectation to get an answer. But you also better come prepared that you may get an answer you don't expect. You better come expecting that God may move in a way that you hadn't thought of, or maybe even a way that you don't want him to. But regardless, friends, if you've heard about anything, you need to bring that burden to the Lord today. That's what Habakkuk did, and I'm telling you, in the end it paid off. This brings me to the third point. That is the first thing that the Lord told Habakkuk. And it's in chapter 2, verse 3 here that I want to focus on. Listen to this. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Friends, I'm going to tell you something real important this morning. You ready for this? Just because you're in a hurry doesn't mean that God's in a hurry. Did you know that? Just because you're in a hurry for an answer doesn't mean that God is in a hurry to give you one. Yeah, you may want an answer to your prayer, and you may want an answer right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean God is going to give you one quickly, because, friends, God don't get in a hurry. Think about it. God is eternal. God has forever. And so he don't get in a hurry, even though we do. Here's what I want you to understand about that story this morning. When the Lord showed up and said, I'm going to use the Babylonians to use them in my judgment. Do you know how long it was between the time the Lord told him that and the time the Babylonians actually showed up? Get this. It was almost 30 years. Almost 30 years. That's a long time. That man Habakkuk was going to have to continue to be a witness to the sins of God's people for three more decades before God would even do anything with that. Now, if you wonder how I got to that figure of 30 years seeing me after church, I'll show you my map. Okay? It was about 30 years between the time God told him this and the time the Babylonians. And then, once the Babylonians showed up, it was going to be a long time for any of God's people ever got home again, because the captivity was going to last for 70 years. Most of those people were going to die in captivity. There would be very few of them that were alive the day that Babylonians showed up to judge the Jews that would actually ever come back home. The back didn't understand. So he got real honest with the Lord. He told the Lord, he said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand how you can do this. Praise God. Lord helped him understand a little bit better. Now, Lord didn't fill in all the blanks. Lord didn't tell him everything. You know what? Sometimes God will do that to you and me. We're going to pray about something. God's going to give us some information. We're going to fill in all the blanks. You know why? Because sometimes God just wants us to trust him. Sometimes God just wants us to have some faith. And in verse 3, the Lord told Habakkuk, he said, there is an appointed time for all of this to happen. And he said, you can be sure it's going to happen. The Lord also told him that his word was sure, that all things would happen just exactly like God said they would. And then God uttered, are you ready for this? God uttered the three words no Christian ever wants to hear. When the Lord said, wait for you realize, friends, every time you pray about anything, God is going to give you one of three answers. He's either going to say yes to what you've asked for, or he's going to say no to what you've asked for, or he's going to tell you, wait. And I know how we are. We're impatient. We don't like to wait. Sometimes that's exactly what the Lord requires us to do. And friends, the Lord has done this so many times in the Scriptures. Think about it. Acts chapter 1, right before Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives and went back to heaven, what did he tell his followers to do? He said, go back to Jerusalem and do what? Oh yeah, wait. And you remember in Acts chapter 9, when Paul got saved, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden he realized how wrong he had been, and all of a sudden he realized who Jesus was, and he uttered those words. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? You remember what the Lord told him to do? He said, will you just go on to Damascus and do what? Wait. Today, if you have the good sense to bring your burdens to the Lord, then I want you to know that as you do, you may not get an answer from me. The Lord may not answer you today. He may not answer you tomorrow. He may not answer you this week. Maybe not even this year. He may require you to wait on him for a while in faith. But I'll promise you, if you'll bring your burdens to the Lord, if you'll give those burdens to him, and if you'll have the faith to wait on the Lord, he will do exactly what he did for Habakkuk. That is, somewhere down the line, the Lord will come, he will move, and he will answer your request in his time and his way. Because I'm going to be honest with you this morning. Above everything else in my life right now, I am burdened for this church. Now, I'm burdened about the United States. I'm burdened about the moral spiritual condition. I'm burdened by the sin I see going on in our world and how immoral America's becoming. I'm burdened by all that. I'm burdened as I look at the state of the overall church in this country, because I'm going to be honest with you, statistics don't lie. The church in America has been declining for decades. Not just this church, not just the Southern Baptist Church, The church has been in decline for decades. And we're not alone. It's just the way it is. And so, but of all things, I'm most burdened for this church. And I want you to know I'm praying about this church. I want you to know I'm praying for each of you. I want you to know that I am praying continually that God will come and just absolutely rain down the power of His Holy Ghost on this place. I am praying for the power of God on this place, that this church would just explode with growth. I am praying that the growth would come in this church, primarily for lost people in this community coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. I am praying that God would come and move powerfully, and that this church would grow so quickly that we would quickly outgrow our current facility. And I've been praying about this for a while now, and you know what? It still hasn't happened. But I'm not real concerned. Because you see, friends, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that it's not going to happen at some point in the future. Actually, I believe it will. Okay, I really do. I believe it will. Hear me close, because if you don't remember anything else I said this morning, I want you to remember this. Our faith is often put to more of a test by having to wait on it than it is by the trials and tribulations of this life. Did you hear what I just said? Our faith is often put to more of a test when we have to wait on God than it is by the trials and tribulations that we face each and every day. Wait on Him is what we must do. Like I said, we're always in a hurry, but you know what? God isn't. Sometimes God requires us to wait on Him. This brings me to my final point this morning. That is what we're to do while we're waiting. What do we do while we're waiting? Look at verse 4 in our original text. God says this to Habakkuk. He says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Right here, the Lord tells Habakkuk, he knows all about the pride that so many of God's people had in Habakkuk's day. And the Lord knew all about their sins. The Lord knew all about their wickedness. And he knew all about those among God's people who were causing contention and strife among the people of God. He knew all about the violence that were perpetrating against each other. He saw everything that was going on. He told Habakkuk, "I haven't missed anything." And then in addition to this, the Lord also knew that Habakkuk, when he said this, he knew that Habakkuk was just going to have to live for another 30 years witnessing the wickedness going on among the people of God, okay? And God knew that one would be easy for Habakkuk. And then in verse 4, the Lord says, "Listen, Habakkuk, I know what everyone else is doing. But you just wait on me. And while you wait on me, you be faithful to me." Isn't that good advice? Forget what everyone else is doing. Forget about all these sinful people that are lifted up in their pride. Forget about all the violence and the wickedness they're committing. You just wait on me, and you just be faithful till I come and do something. Didn't we are? Grandpa, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again this morning. I can't control what anyone else does. I'm going to be blunt. I can't control what you do. All I can do is preach the Word of God to you from this pulpit. All I can do is tell you what the Word of God says. All I can do is say, God's Word says this, and therefore you ought to do this. But you know what? At the end of the day, I can't make you do any of it. And to an extent, I'm all right with that. Because you see, if I tell you what God's Word says, I've done my part. And if I tell you what God's Word says and then you choose to do otherwise, well, that's on you, not me. You're the one going to answer for it, not me. If I tell you the truth, I what? In the end, God's going to say, hey, you have my word. Brother Todd stood up there, he preached my word, he told you the truth, and then you chose on your own to do something else. Guess what? God ain't going to hold Brother Todd accountable. He's going to hold you accountable. I can preach it, I can teach it, I can tell it, but I can't make you do it. Let me give some examples. I can tell you that the Bible says we are to pray without ceasing. It is what it says, isn't it? Didn't James say, you have not because you what? Ask not. And then didn't Jesus himself say, ask and you shall receive? I mean, what are all these verses telling us? They're telling us, as God's people, we ought to pray. Well, guess what? I preach that to all in the face. If you choose not to pray, guess what? That's on you, not me. I've also, how many times, implored you and encouraged you to get into the Word of God every day. Why? Because, number one, God's Word says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, right? Isn't that what it says? And didn't Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 say, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God? That is what it says. So you know what that tells me? Tells me you ought to be in the Word of God every day. But if you neglect the Word of God, who's that on? It's going to be on you. Oh, yeah. Doesn't the Bible say that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Talk about coming to church, ain't it? As God's people. I've preached that. Made a lot of people mad preaching that, I guess. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm still going to preach it because it's what the Bible says. I'll say what I said again last week. I mean, Jesus died for the church. He shed his blood to purchase the church. I'm assuming it's obviously pretty important to him. What do you think? If it was that important to him, don't you think it ought to be that important to us? And all I can say is, if you choose to go do something else when church is happening, guess what? In the end, you're the one who will have to answer to God for it. And oh yeah, how many different scriptures does the Word of God command the people to go and share the gospel with the lost? And how often have I stood in this pulpit and told you that it is your obligation and my obligation to God as His people to go out here and tell the good news that only Jesus saves? How many times have I said we are to go and tell people that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid and that it all hinges on a decision concerning Jesus Christ? Guess what? If you keep that secret, you keep that to yourself, who do you think is going to answer for that? It's going to be. And I'm going to say this morning, regardless of what anyone else does, I am going to do my best to be faithful to God in all things. See, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep reading His Word. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep preaching and teaching the truth of His Word. And I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus. And I'm going to keep doing everything I know He wants me to do. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I'm not going to do it perfectly. But I'm going to do these things whether anyone else does or not. And I'm just going to declare this morning, I'm going to do all these things whether any of you do them or not. And I'm going to do these things as I faithfully wait on the Lord to come and pour out His power and His blessings on this place. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to keep encouraging each of you to do the same. Say so, I think the Lord told back was. I'm sorry to put the people in the chain. We said, we want to stay faithful. Do this way on me. It'll be okay. Because let me just tell you something right now. Even if the entire world turns its back on the Lord, it will not justify you doing it. Here's where I'm going to end this morning. If you're burdened about something today, then my advice is bring that burden to the Lord this morning. I'm going to say this, I'm truly a child of God. God be burdened about something. God be burdened about the state of the nation. God be burdened about the state of the church. God be burdened for this church. God be burdened for those who are lost in their sin and living without Jesus. You ought to bring those burdens to the Lord in just a moment. We sing a final hymn.
bring those words to the board, you also need to come, and you need to be willing to have faith, to wait on the board to answer those prayers. You also need to be prepared that God might give you an answer that's different from what you want or what you're expecting. And if God does give you an answer that you weren't expecting, or maybe an answer that wasn't exactly what you wanted, you also need to be prepared to yield yourself to God's will. As you wait on the Lord, you've got to resolve yourself to be faithful to the Lord and your word, regardless of what anyone else might do. You know what? I don't think it was easy for her back. I'm not proclaiming that at all. I think it was very difficult for Habakkuk to hear what God told him. I think it was very difficult for him to realize it's going to be a while before anything happens, changes. These people are going to continue doing the same things they're doing. I think that had to be very difficult for him to hear. But I'm going to promise you in the end, I'll promise you, he was glad he not only waited on him, he was glad he yielded himself to the will of God and then his faith. I'm for you today, friends, to bring your burdens to the Lord. Trust Him and be willing to wait on Him and be willing to yield yourself to His will. And then you just be as faithful to Him as you know how to be while you're waiting. And I promise you, in the end, you'll be glad to see it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, Lord. Your word tells us that everything in this book was written as an example for us to follow. The Lord in Habakkuk received such a powerful example. Lord, his situation, the things that he was facing, was not easy. And yet, Lord, through your grace and your power, he was able to endure. When he lifted his burden to you, I don't think he necessarily liked the answer that you gave him. Praise God, he was willing, Lord, to yield himself to your will. God, help us today. We should all be burdened, Lord. We shouldn't be indifferent by what we see going on in the world today, by what we see going on in the church today. It's your people to know that. And I pray, Lord, today we bring those burdens to you. And I pray, Lord, that as we come, we'll come with faith, expecting the answer. I pray, Lord, that as we come and bring those burdens to you, that we'll have the faith to wait on you for an answer. And I pray, Lord, that if your answer is different than what we were expecting or different from what we were wanting, Lord, I pray we'll have the faith to yield ourselves to your will. And I pray, Lord, that as we wait, I pray, Lord, that we would all resolve ourselves today to be just as faithful to you and to your word and to your house and to your people as we know how. Lord, as you're speaking to hearts, and I trust that you are. I pray that we will come. I pray that we will bring our burdens to you. We will allow you, Lord, to have your way in our lives and in the circumstances.